Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The government of France today acted in open defiance of President Reagan. The issue, Mr. Reagan's opposition to the proposed natural gas pipeline from Siberia to Western Europe. David Andelman reports from Paris.
A grim American ambassador in Paris, Evan Galbraith, heard the word this morning from French Foreign Minister Claude Chaisson only minutes before the Prime Minister's office in the Palace of Matignon announced the French government was ordering a French firm to defy a Reagan administration directive and begin manufacturing immediately critical rotor turbines for the Soviet to Western Europe gas pipeline. But the French do not stand alone in their desire to defy President Reagan's ban on the use of American technology for this pipeline. West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt also reaffirmed that his government will proceed with the project. The natural gas from the Soviet pipeline is considered vital to the economic prosperity of many West European nations. Ambassador Galbraith has warned the French that a range of penalties, including criminal sanctions, could be invoked if any French firm defies the ban on technology exports and begins to manufacture elements for the pipeline project using American engineering. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
The White House has not yet commented. President Reagan scored successes in the House of Representatives yesterday on two defense issues, the MX missile and the C-5 cargo plane. Susan Spencer has details.
Opponents argue that the MX should not be built until there is a final decision on how to base it, but they lost by three votes in the face of intense lobbying by the White House. The president prevailed, too, on a decision to go with the controversial Lockheed C-5B jumbo transport plane, a decision ridiculed by some because of the cracked wing problem suffered by another jumbo, the C-5A. Both Lockheed and Boeing had lobbied heavily for this vote. During debate, Democrat Tom Downey of New York held up a Lockheed newspaper ad.
Lockheed is actually advertising. Can you believe this advertising that the wings that used to fall off the plane that have been fixed up now don't fall off the plane and that they fixed them up on time and under cost? Remarkable. It's in the top five of turkeys. It has had enormous problems. If the C-5A can come back, so can Richard Nixon.
But the C-5B prevailed by a large margin. Today, the House continues debate on the nearly $180 billion defense bill, with the annual fight over the B-1 bomber still ahead. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate takes further votes today on the bill raising taxes by $99 billion over the next 3 years. Members from tobacco-growing states hope to knock out the proposed doubling of the federal tax on cigarettes from 8 cents to 16 cents a pack. Democrat Walter Huddleston of Kentucky calls it regressive, applying to the poor the same rate as it does to people who can afford to pay it. Democrat Wendell Ford, also of Kentucky, calls it an obvious injustice. Nevertheless, the cigarette tax increase appears likely to pass. Secretary of the Interior James Watt has been angering environmentalists ever since he took office a year and a half ago. Now, as we hear from Sam Ford, he's done it again.
Secretary James Watt has opened virtually the entire U.S. coastline, a billion acres, for offshore oil and gas drilling. This is 25 times what the Carter administration would have allowed. Watt defends his decision, saying America is too dependent on foreign oil and saying he is creating 600,000 jobs. As for the environmental concerns, Watt says a lot more oil is spilled from tankers importing oil than from offshore drilling rigs.
The danger to the marine and to the aesthetic values of the ocean areas comes from importing foreign crude on foreign ships with foreign workers.
Under the plan, the government will begin selling the offshore leases over a five-year period beginning next month. Massachusetts Congressman Edward Markey, who chairs the House Interior Oversight Committee, has condemned the Watt plan, saying it lacks any concern for the ocean environment and lacks any appreciation for the impact on coastal states. Sam Ford, CBS News, Washington.
From San Francisco now, Barry Peterson takes a look at one of the areas that would be most directly concerned if the plan went into effect.
The rugged, untouched Northern California coastline has been a battleground between environmentalists and oil companies for years. Now, with parts of that area included in Secretary Watt's oil lease plan, the battle has intensified. Michael McCloskey of the San Francisco-based Sierra Club called Watt's decision an effort to ride roughshod over environmental values.
These lands and these waters support values that all Americans enjoy and millions of creatures enjoy. And they're not going to enjoy it if these people succeed.
Oil company executives like Chevron's Claire Jalin say the oil can be produced without harming the environment.
Most all coastlines in America have residents who believe their coastline is unique and their coastline deserves protection above all. What this does, of course, is it says I'm all for national energy, but don't look in my backyard.
California officials vowed to file a lawsuit blocking any lease sales, so it will be years, if ever, before any oil is produced off this coast. Barry Peterson, CBS News, San Francisco.
The Natural Resources Defense Council, an environmental group, plans to file suit today in Washington federal court against the project, and its opponents in Congress say they'll introduce a resolution aimed at blocking it. The current ceasefire in Beirut, violated frequently in the past week and a half, has now been further shaken. Palestine Liberation Organization positions in West Beirut came under heavy fire from Israeli warships, tanks, and artillery between midnight and dawn. The Israeli cabinet held a special session this morning, and the feeling in Jerusalem seems to be that Israel may increase its military pressure on the PLO in the absence of any prospect of reaching a diplomatic solution of the stalemate. As for the possibility of an Israeli invasion, Peter Sherman describes the preparations being made by the Palestinians.
The PLO strongholds of West Beirut are all but blocked off with barricades of steel girders and red mounds of earth to impede the flow of cars, trucks, and if the invasion comes, tanks. PLO leaders and soldiers alike say, let the Israelis come. We are ready for them. We will fight. But the political consequences of an Israeli invasion of West Beirut and the likelihood of heavy casualties are seen as the major deterrents. While the PLO military speak of the worst that could happen, they also speak of the best from their point of view. Each day, for more than a week, Chairman Yasser Arafat and his aides have said, we are ready to go back to Palestine. On many occasions, they've said they are not playing for time. But they admit time has worked in their favor, lessening the probability of an invasion of West Beirut while public opinion swung their way, and increasing their chances for recognition by the United States and agreement on a Palestinian homeland. PLO spokesman Mahmoud Labadi asserts that his organization has made all the concessions it can, and now is the time for concessions from others. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Beirut.
Iran today claimed that its forces in Iraq have staged a major advance not far from the oil port city of Basra. Iraq is quick to claim that its troops counterattacked, scored what Baghdad calls a brilliant success, and killed several thousand Iranians. President Reagan today begins a short visit to the Middle West. We'll hear about it from Neil Strausser.
Fundraising is high on the agenda during the president's overnight trip to St. Louis. He leaves the White House in early afternoon for the flight, first to tour a new Boys Club facility built with the support of private industry, then to attend a fundraising reception for his alma mater, Eureka College. A fundraising reception and dinner on behalf of the United States Olympic Committee are to follow, expected to gross about $230,000 for the U.S. team. Salesmanship was on the president's agenda yesterday, selling his $350 million Caribbean Basin Initiative program. He met with Caribbean Basin ambassadors and corporate supporters of the initiative, and at a party given by the corporate supporters, said he's given a top priority to congressional passage of the program.
We need a far-sighted act by our people now, a time of great economic trial for us as well, so we can prevent even greater expenditures of energy, time, and treasure in the future.
Mr. Reagan said he is taking personal command of the effort to win passage by summer recess of the Caribbean program, which so far has been approved only by the House Foreign Affairs Committee and still faces floor and Appropriations Committee battles made tougher by the recession here at home. Neil Strausser, CBS News, the White House.
Soviet hunger striker Sergei Petrov, who's been trying to get an exit visa, ended his fast this morning on his 51st day. He said he didn't want to cause his American wife, other relatives and friends further pain. His wife left Moscow yesterday after a four-day stay. Soviet authorities say Petrov is assigned to a scientific facility, and therefore, they say, he cannot be allowed to emigrate, because he might reveal state secrets. The dollar is down again today against the major foreign currencies, and gold is also on the downside. The price was fixed in London at $358.25 an ounce, off $6.50 from yesterday's close.